Today's daf in Masechet Chagigah brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh in Masechet Chagigah is daf Tet Zayin, and we are holding on the very last line. On the penultimate line. Rabbi Akiva, on Omid Beis. Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom v'yarad b'shalom. But the fourth one, the only one that went in and out and wasn't damaged, was Rabbi Akiva. The Allah Akatuv Omer Moshcheni Acharecha Narutza, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him in, Havieni HaMelech Chadarav, he brought me into his own inside chambers, Nagila V'Nisbechabo, and even Rabbi Akiva really went a little bit too far, where he had, it was in a sense, it was chutzpedik to do that. And Bikshu Malachi Asharet Bedochvo, the Malachi Asharis wanted to push him out of there. And how could you come in here? Amar lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anichu Lezaken Zeh, Shira'ui Lishtamesh Bechvodi. Don't touch him and leave him alone, because this is a guy that is actually suited, and it's appropriate for him to be there. Now, he must have understood something that the others didn't understand. I mean, when he went in there, we see that he was the one that was explaining the thing about Mayim, and so on, right? So that means that he set out initially to know what it is that he should avoid. So what was Rabbi Akiva Dorush? What pasuk was Rabbi Akiva Dorush that allowed him not to make the mistakes that were made by the others? Some learn, what did he dorish to be careful not to look too deeply into those areas so he wouldn't be mistakel, so to speak, on the Shekhinah? Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. He darshan the posik vi'ata mirivavot kodesh. So that means he darshan it like that. Ata is otu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ot, mirivavot kodesh. So then that means that where he saw the Rivavot Kodesh, that's where he avoided going into. So whatever the idea would be of the Pamalya Shamala on that level, he was makpid on. Rabbi Abba said, no, it's more clear than that. You don't have to darshan oti. He darshan dagul mirvava, which is the Indian of the Machane, where the Machane of the Malachim came down, and Klal Yisrael were jealous. They wanted also to have the Machane. That is what he was derish, because he saw that as dagul. Dagul always means something that stands out, stands above. And that means he was a dugma b'ravavashalo. And he avoided, because of that, analyzing that relationship. So very similar. The question is what pasuk? Reish Lakish says, also, same idea. But it's, you don't have to look for a particular pasuk. I mean, it's found all over. The name Tzvakot is expressed as Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. So then that means that the expression of his adnut is in the tzava. So all of this has to do with being careful about how you understand the tzava shalo. That is to say, what does pamalya shalo imply? What does the idea that there could be something that is close to the Shekhinah and so on? That's what he recognized could get him into trouble. Reb Chiya bar Ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. No, I thought it was a whole different issue. He was Derech, the psukim of Eliyahu, because there we have the closest thing to a description of the experience of what a person would be seeing and experiencing, again, of course, in mushal terms, if he was Eimei Bifnei Ashchina, because Eliyahu Anavi was that. We found this, remember, in the Gemara, where even the blind can know better than the sighted if they're able to darshan the pasuk of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, where the Shekhinah is coming. So he darshaned it, Lagabi the Melech. So it would be the same thing if the king is coming, right? Remember the whole discussion over there? What would a blind man know about the entourage of the king? And he darshaned exactly this pasuk. So it says over there. So first it says there was this incredible storm, this ruach, right? So it says, Tseva marata bahar lifnei Hashem, v'inei Hashem over. The ruach gedola v'chazak, b'farei karim u'mishaber sla'im lifnei Hashem. No. Lo b'ruach Hashem. Don't worry about that. You can see that. That's just, you know, it's a fire and light show. That's not where you'll find the Shekhinah. V'achara ruach rash. Then came this enormous earthquake. Lo b'ruach Hashem. Nothing. It's just sound and glory. V'achar ha-rash eish. No, lo be'esh Hashem. V'achar ha-esh called mamad akah. That was this small, the small, thin voice. That is where you got to worry. So there, v'nei Hashem over. So that was where Rabbi Akiva was careful. So it must be that the inyanim that he was masig in part is similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Eliyahu Hanavi. So that's a perfect place to look. Tana Rabbana. Shisha Devarim. Now, I just want to point out for you, we had Shiurim on this topic, but remember that the idea of the dangers of the Nichlis of the Pardes is basically connected to the Mar'eh of the Shechina on the day that was similar to the day of Kabbalah Satera and the day of Bria Sa'elam. So it's connected to Chagiga in both ways. And we have the Nichlesu L'Pardes in the Maisa of Nadav V'Avihu. So the issues over there were very similar to what happened to Yochor B'nei Hashem Amavtzalach Hasidav in terms of being drawn in more closely than you ought to be. And of course, that was on Har Sinai. The reason that Nadav and Avihu fell in that fashion was because it says, Vayechazu et Elohim, Vayochlu Vayishtu. So that Vayechazu et Elohim is exactly Re'ia, right? But it's a Re'ia, we're going to be talking about a level of Re'ia that is called Histaklut, Mistakel. So it's that question of being looking into things rather than simply being exposed to things. And that Vayechazu is what this whole part of the Masechet is talking about. Before this, we were talking about, when everything was going well, we were talking about the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and there we were on our Sinai, B'chalomi, we're there together. But that is true. That's the part of where you're allowed to be Derish, but where you're not allowed to be Derish, or where someone goes in an area, B'mufla mimcha al tidrosh, or we had the various psukim, Dvash v'chalav tachat l'shancha. So there we have the story also that's on our Sinai, but over there it comes from Vayachazu, Vayochlu v'yishtu. You see, so the entire story of the Masechet is basically the different dargas of the Shmira of Mechitzes. And we mentioned to you earlier, Rashi talks about Mechitzes. Those were the Mechitzes on Har Sinai. That's the way Chazal referred to them. So these various Tchumim were various Mechitzes on Har Sinai. That's why Rabbi Yochanan talks about in his dream that we were invited to level 3. That's very, very clear-cut sense of gradated mechitzas in which we have, just like we have on the Indian of Kedusha, Sarah Kedusha, same different levels of Kedusha in terms of physical space. We have the same idea here in terms of, we can call it metaphysical space. Anyway, so getting back to the questions over here about hearing from Me'achorei HaPargot. So we heard Acher. Now, oh, by the way, I wanted to tell this over to you because I think it's a beautiful, beautiful pshat in general. And there were many things that we had to leave sort of hanging yesterday. But Gavi had posted a question. I'm trying to remember how. Gavi, do you want to repeat? Or I'll just look on the daf things. Maybe
you want to do it maybe after this daf?
And we'll go back. No, I'll just talk for
a
few.
A lot.
Yeah, I'll just talk for a few seconds. What particularly, Gavi? Was it a good idea? I don't want to start looking now.
It was the connection between the genetic and the information in terms of all the elements of yesterday's stuff, in terms of the discussion between the benzoma of virgin insemination. And with Asher along with his mother,
age. Yeah, so that issues. All right, for that Barney is right. That's going to be a little bit too detailed. Okay, but in general, there is a beautiful, beautiful issue that the Shalom brings that is very critical. It's brought actually by a number of Mefarshim, and that is, you remember this strange halacha of Kol Ma Sheyomar Lecha Baal HaBayit Aseh Chutz Mitzeh. He says that's the pshat in Acher. You don't listen to the Baal HaBayit when he says you're not invited. Of course I'm invited. I know what the Bria is about. Don't tell me, Shuva Bonim Shovavim Chutz Me'acher. I ain't taking that seriously, and I'm not taking that sitting down. Isn't that beautiful? And that's one thing I don't listen to. You may be the Bala Bayit, but you can't tell me to leave. So there is that Nakuda that is discussing a profound connection on the undercurrent of things. And we're going to see this works in both directions in terms of the human being's feelings about his wanting to do what's right, even though maybe he can't, or he's overwhelmed by his desires, or whatever, as we're going to get into. But on the other hand, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayochol, the same situation, in that he's committed himself to Vayis Bereishis. He's given the Adam Bechira. He's sort of stuck with the outcome. And the entire thing is all in terms of the clear-cut understanding in the beginning of Bria that it's all for Reishis, and it was all Nivra with a hay, and it was all for Tshuva, and it all has to emerge in the end. So what are you telling me to leave? And the same thing is true. Look, it happens sometimes. Somebody will invite a friend and so on, and they get into a fight and whatever. The last thing to do is to leave the house because he says, go. You work it out. That's the point. That's what it really means, right? I'm sure it's even happened to you. You know that if you walk out of the house and turn your back when he says to you, get the hell out of here, you'll never talk to him again. Masha Einkein, if you sit there and you work it out, then the relationship will be deeper than it was before. That's the beauty of it. The same thing is true over here. Acher should have worked it out. He should never have said, okay, fine, so I'm leaving. That's the last thing to do. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, I find that. So that mamash describes like the entire inyanim to come. So once we're talking about Me'achorei HaPargod, we're going to bring a relationship over here to the Malachei HaShoreis and their connection to Achorei HaPargod. So on the simple level, that's why this next issue is being brought. On a deeper level, you will remember the way that we've been spoken about so many times, the inyan of Shadim, and how it relates to the idea of virtual reality and artificial intelligence, and why they don't have fully formed feet and so on, because they are low resolution beings. That is so clear, gentlemen. This is not stam acute kind of thing, because it shows up in Mitzrayim. They can't do kinim because they don't have the resolution to handle kinim. That's insane. That's what it says. Rashi brings that, right? Now they can't be sholed on a birya that's pochus mikadasha, because the level of resolution is only what's nogea the halacha. And therefore, same way in the early computers, ridiculous resolutions, all of those human figures, they all had chicken feet, because you were just drawing on. That's exactly why Shadim have chicken feet. The whole thing is a low resolution artificial reality, which is all being generated by human interrelationships with the world, which is why it has to come dafke ben hashmoshes and so on, which is why if you don't care about them, they don't care about you, as the Gemara says, because they cease to exist in a sense. And we saw this in so many different ways. That's why they don't have a shadow of a shadow, because that's the most difficult thing to do in resolution in terms of computer graphics. If you have to figure out every way that the light bounces off everything, my God, it rapidly gets out of control in terms of how much computing power it's using. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you want to know whether you're looking at something in full resolution, it's brilliant. You want to know if you're looking at something in full resolution, see whether the shadows of the shadows are being properly resolved. That's crazy, man. It's totally crazy. You put that together, and it's obviously that's the pshat, right? It's so stunning. Anyway, so because of that, since we've been talking about the question over here of the nature of mashal on the darga that we've been expressing it, then we also have to go down, not only up. And in order to do that, we have to see, like, what are the gedorim of mishalim in the nested level of shadim as well. And I spoke to you yesterday, I think it was, about the way that people are still scared of Godzilla, which is ridiculous. And it actually, people will pay money to scare themselves with these childish, infantile representations of, you know, originally paper mache moving dinosaurs or whatever. I mean, okay, so now it's computer graphics. I mean, what the heck? Like, you know what you're looking at? Doesn't make any difference, does it? No, makes no difference. And if you're doing a medical experiment about how useful a trufa is, it doesn't matter if the guy knows that he's been given a placebo. Makes absolutely no difference. It still changes the experimental results. You still need to measure it against the placebo. So the point, therefore, in the Gemara is we need to see how these things are different levels of realities, because obviously on every level, we're talking about a mushal to some other level in the sense that I explained mushal of Michel. Okay. So Tana Rabbana. Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Sheidim. Shlosha k'malachei hasharet v'shlosha k'bnei adam. Now this is the, again, this is going up and down, because they're like malachei hasharet. Well, they all fly around. I mean, did you ever see a demon without wings? I mean, come on, they know how to get around, right? So therefore they have wings like malachei hasharet. They can always, you know, sort of like appear in one place and, you know, disappear, fly away to another place. Tasmi sofo lavat sofo k'malachei hasharet. And they also know the future, like malachei hasharet. What? What do you mean? Nothing knows the future. That doesn't make any sense. How, where would anybody get the idea that they know anything? Yeah, that's, you're right. Shomim me'achorei pargod k'malachei hasharet. They hear announcements, achorei pargod, so to speak, about any gezeros that are there min hashamayim, because that's the only future that you can know. If you want to get information about what stocks to invest in, do not ask the Malachi Asharis or the Shadim, because they're not going to give you the right information unless it was a Gzerim and Hashemayim that Apple should succeed. Now, that makes sense. V'shlosha kivnei adam. Now, there's the three ways that Shadim are like humans. They eat, they drink, they reproduce, and they die. Shisha dvarim nemru kivnei adam. They're talking about humans. Like, we're humans in the scale of things. Well, I mean, they're sort of animals and they're sort of super malachei hasharis, right? So three things, they're like malachei hasharis. And what is that? Well, they have das. That's unbelievable. They're conscious. Where the heck does that come from? U'mahalchim bekomaz zekufa k'malachei hasharet. They manage to walk completely erect. That's really crazy. I mean, you can understand that, you know, the other primates and so on, but that business, that, I mean, because it's so inefficient, it's so ridiculous, it puts so much pressure. It's like, it almost seems an impossible computing feat, the amount of constant correction that is necessary to really walk totally straight. And they do this. It's amazing. And they even speak Lashon HaKodesh. Oh, that's crazy. How in the world do they have an intelligence that understands language on that level of universal interrelationships and multi-leveled? That's crazy. How do they do that? In three ways, they're like animals. They eat and they drink and they reproduce and they eliminate. Now that's ridiculous for Malach HaSharis to be a behemoth. There you go. Kola mistakel ba'arba advarim. So now the Mishnah says, anybody who looks at four things, it would have been better for him, ratuilo shalo bala olam, in the first place. Mala mala, mala mata, mala fnim, we said mala achor. Okay, I understand all of that, because there you're talking about things that are outside of your mechitza, and it makes a difference, you know? So mala mala, mala mata, mala achor, I understand. But to ask, I mean, what does that mean? What comes before? Who cares? I mean, maida have have. You know, whatever it is, it is. I mean, it's not really nogea anymore by definition, right? So, I mean, you're asking about a process? I understand that if you're looking to take advantage of some kind of knowledge, and it will make a difference. I can understand why the Mishnah says you don't have a right to inquire. But, like, this is like a very theoretical thing that already was. Whatever it is, it is. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Daimer Tarvayu. You want to understand this, you have to imagine a Melech Basar Adam who tells his construction avadim, I want you to build a beautiful palace, and it's right on a landfill. You know, that's the place it's been filled in. It's full of garbage. It's got 30 years worth of garbage. Now, anybody walks in and says, wow, this place is absolutely stunning. I remember when this place stunk to high hell, it was a garbage. And you can imagine what it is that the Melech is going to do to that guy. Oh, my gosh. You know, and he walks in the middle of the palace, and that's what he says. Forget it. So they go ahead. He says, Benuli platrin gedolin ala hashpa, put it on the landfill. Holchu banulo, he does not want anybody mentioning the landfill, does he? So Enrit Sono Shel Melech Laskir Shem Al Ashpa. So because of that, he does not want people to. Now this, of course, again, is totally misunderstood, and everybody asks the question, what do you mean? Isn't that the most chashuv thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Yesh Me'ayin? And since it's Yesh Me'ayin, that's the biggest madriga, and that everybody has to understand the Yesh Me'ayin. It's an absurd kind of question. So, I mean, obviously the Nekuda is that Yesh Me'ayin is not from nothing. It is from Ayin. And with that, that is the HaChochma Me'ayin Tematze that we're starting with on that getter of HaChochma Me'ayin Tematze, which involves, as we saw before, Tohu, which was all Nifsal afterwards with Ela Toldot Shemayim Varetz without the Vav, so as the Medrash brings, that Pasul, the original elements that were used, you don't want people who believe that creation is real and not virtual, so to speak, for us. You don't want them to realize that they are walking on nothing. And basically what we said before is, Oretz, you know, Amao Imedes, we said, Tachas Ro'ot Olam, and you want to know now, what do you want to know? You want to know what's underneath this Ro'ot Olam? Right? That's brilliant. So obviously, the Mashal is a brilliant Mashal. I mean, that will undo the whole beauty of the palace. You're living in a palace. So what do you need to figure out? That it's all virtual? Come on. You're supposed to be there to enjoy it, to be amazed by it, to think this is incredible. It's supposed to like really make a difference to you. And instead, like, you know, you're so smart, you are totally aware of the virtuality of everything, and nothing makes a slightest bit of difference anyway. It's awful. And this has to do with the next issue as well, which is Kol Shelo Chas Al Kvod Kono, Ratui Lo Shelo Ba'al Ha'olam. Anybody who doesn't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod would have been better for never to show up in the world at all. What is that referring to? Rabbi Abba Omar Zeh HaMistakel B'Keshet. There's somebody who stares. A mistakel means looks into, not just sees. So he looks into the rainbow. Now what is that? So, okay, so you have this Rabbi Hanana looks at the rainbow. You have everybody's simple pshat, obviously, because it says in the pasuk that this is Mar'ek Kvod Hashem. It's the mistakel b'keshet. Because it says that it was Me'ein HaKeshet Shinir Ebanan, and that was in the story of the Merkava, and therefore the rainbow somehow is an expression of the Kvod Hashem. What is that supposed to mean? The rainbow is an expression of the Kvod Hashem. It's because it's pretty. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says, well, that's because it allows you to see all of these different colors, but you can't really make them out clearly. You don't know when it's this color. When it moves into another color, it's such a gradual thing. Rabbo say, I will tell you the real pshat. Again, it's always Shimon Ponim Latera. The point of Mistakel B'Keshet is fabulous because it's basically the nature of the entire process of Bria. What the Keshet was the only time that human beings were able to sense the fact that what appears to be, to them, all of this incredible complexity that contains all of the different elements that are providing all of these different possible frequencies in which you have all of these different quantum leaps and electron levels and so on, and all of that was white light? It was just plain no color? It was just light? That is the closest that you get to the transition of the issue of literal Yesh Me'ayin, of what it means to be talking about an or that can be kolel everything on the Yom HaRishon, Yihi Or, and that it should include all of the complexity of everything that emerges afterwards, that is mind-boggling. And nobody was aware of that until they actually broke up the Keshet, you know? And that's the stupidity of those who say, you know, but it's no gear this Gemara. I'll explain to you why. So these are the people. Where's Richie? Richie, come on. I'm in my aphasic mode. What did they do to the rainbow? These scientists, what is it? Unweaving, did they call it? No, you're talking, but you're muted. Richie, come on. The source of speech, the guy who never loses a word, is never lost for a word.
No,
refraction. I'm the one who forgets words.
I know you're always telling me. That's why. I want somebody to make me feel a little bit better. I'm not the only one who's a basic. I think they call it unweaving the rainbow, if I'm not mistaken. That, you know, the idiots. Because the most wonderful thing in the world was getting to the bottom of what in the world is going on with that rainbow. I mean, it ends up being the most...
It's the name of Dawkins' book. It's the name of Dawkins' book.
No, but it's a rainbow. I don't know, but it's a much older thing. It comes from early poetry in which the Tainas were against it's not, he didn't make up that word. He's using it to show the opposite, that it's the exact opposite. But that idea of unweaving the rainbow is exactly what provides the real understanding in an actual visceral way of being able to see that. And that's why it makes such an immense impression on us. So that's the Kvod Hashem. So what's wrong by being mistakel? Adarabba. So you're more aware, right? This is a wonderful pshat of Rav Dessler on this. And he says the problem of mistakel is not that you see it. It's the problem that you keep seeing it. And why is that a problem? Because all of these expressions are meant to elicit response. And our neurological build and emotional build is that it's like a smell. After you smelled it the first couple of times, you can't smell it anymore if you're still in the room with the smell. You keep looking at something amazing and it stops being amazing to you. It starts being cheap. It starts being meaningless to you. And therefore, to take those that you're not makbid on the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the inyan where he's expressing himself in the deepest ways, so then, absolutely, roi lo shelo ba la'olam. Amazing. And that's exactly what happens. What, Rich?
Don't look a good, a gift horse in the mouth.
Okay, Rich. I wouldn't consider that to be referring to this particular thing, but I hear it.
Rebbe, it's Keats' attack on Newton.
Ah.
Keats is saying, right, he's a
doctor. Okay, there you are. Thank you. Ain't no Dawkins. But it's got very, very old roots. So, I mean, can you imagine all of Newton's work, which was mamish? I mean, his work on the rainbow was all l'chvayt shamayim. He writes that as he writes it. It was all l'chvayt shamayim that he was doing. You know, so this is, no, you're unweaving the rainbow. It's amazing. Anyway, Rav Yosef Amar, ze ha'over avera baseter. This refers to someone who is not makpid on the Shekhinah. He's one. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. The more you're alone, the more someone's looking. That's good for the pshat. So therefore, what's the inyan mistakel bekeshet? Is because it says kimarea keshet asher yeba nan biyom hageshem kein marea noga saviv hu mare dmut kvod Hashem. So how could you just stare at that? And the other pshat over avera b'seiser, like Rabbi Yosef, that's because of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak kol over avera b'seiter ki ilu dochek raglei hashchina. So what's he saying? Oh, okay, nobody's looking. What do you mean nobody's looking? The Shekhinah is not imminent? That's what he's announcing. So therefore, I can be chayte, because it's not important. So I don't want people to see me being chayte, but there's obviously no Shekhinah is going to see me. Wait, that's not true. Because, I mean, isn't it better to do a chayte in private than in public? Didn't we have that whole sugya before? Amar Rabbi Loi HaZakein, Im roe adam sheyitzro mitgaber alav. A person sees that he's going to be doing averas. Better to be yelech lamokam shein makirin oto. Go to a place where nobody knows you. Yilbash chorim. Put on a black suit so no one will. You'll have a broken heart. Yitatev shchorim. Make sure your talis has got a bunch of black in it, like the Ashkenazim. You wouldn't want to get happy in the world and be all broken up. You want to be right, and that way it will break your heart. This is what one of the pshatmatzotzes brings. You will feel so little liveliness in you. You won't even want to sin anymore. Therefore, Yaseh Mashali Bochafetz, do what you really want to do. This was, I said later on, we're going to be getting to the Im Yomar Lecha Baal HaBayit Say. It's the same thing. Deep down, of course you don't want to sin, so Yaseh Mashali Bochafetz, do what you really want to do. So if, in order to break your spirits, so go to a place where people don't know you, you don't have any covet, and you look like you're in mourning, you're wearing black suits and black hats, you're going around, they used to arrest people, remember, at the Gemara because they were proclaiming themselves to being in mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. That was like the chutzpah. So that will break you. But anyway, it says over here, it's better if you are going to end up sinning, that at least you should be in private. Well, isn't the answer obvious? Lokasha. I mean, why is that a contradiction to from Rabbi Loi? Is a contradiction of Yosef? I mean, obviously, if the guy really thinks he's going to end up sinning, he doesn't want to also make a chil Hashem. So fine, so better to be in private. Not because you don't believe in the Shekhinah, but because you're trying to avoid being mechal the Shekhinah. Dorash Rav Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmani, miturgamani d'Resh Lakish, kol ha-mistakel b'shlosha dvarim enaf kohot. You stare, this again, mistakel, you stare at three things, your eyes will grow dim. So, mida keneged mida. If you look at the keshet, and you look at the nasi, or you look at the kohanim. The keshet, we said, kemareh keshet asher yabalan b'yom ha-geshem u'marek duut kvod Hashem. B'nasi, because it says by Yehoshua, v'natata mihodcha alav. So then that means that there's a getter of the hod of the Shekhinah that is on a nasi. And a mistako b'kohanim, that's referring to the zman t'beit ha-migdash kayav. And when the kohanim would be mevorech the am, so they were oimdim al duchonam, and they would use the shema meforash, and then the Shekhinah used to be, so to speak, on their hands, and therefore it shouldn't be mistako. Tosfos points out that this is also nogea, for a completely different reason, not to look at the kohanim in a Beit HaKnesset, nothing to do with this, Tosfos says, nothing to do with what this Gemara is, whereas Rashi elsewhere says it does. Tosfos proves from here it's not because of the Shekhinah, it's because of Hesach Hadas. So if you're mistakel, and you're not concentrating, they can't concentrate, you're not concentrating, everybody's looking, whatever, so nobody's looking. Okay. Dorash Rav Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmani miturgamani d'Resh Lakish. When it says in the Pasuk, very strange Pasuk in Micha, don't ever trust a friend. Don't ever rely on a general. So, al taminu bereya, al tiftechu ba'aluf. And then it says that, mi shochevet chekecha, from she who lies in your lap, meaning your own wife, your own lover, shmor pitche picha, never share your secrets. Don't trust anybody. This is interesting. The Rosh begins his whole sefer on the derech that you should live your life with that pasuk. Mishochevet, just the last part. Mishochevet chekecha, shmor b'chepicha. Be very careful what it is you tell your wife. Everybody finds this out to their own chagrin over time, right? All right. So what is it referring to? Im yomru lecha yetzara. The yetzara tells you, don't worry about it. You can trust me, you know. Al taminu bereya. No. He'll tell you, don't worry, you could be chote, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mochu you. Because, you know, if you're chote, so then ultimately you're going to do tshuva, and it'll make it easier for you to do tshuva, you know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always forgive you. So it's all, do not believe a word of it. Al tamin. We know that the reya is a remes to the Yetzer Hara, because he pretends to be your friend. He's Rea, but he's really Ra. He's really not good for you. And that's your closest friend, is that Rea, right? So, Ein Rea Ela Yetzer Hara. That's what we were talking about before. Remember being friends with the Malach HaMavis? Well, everybody's friends with the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is the Malach HaMavis. What do you think about that? Who's Satan? Who Yetzer Hara? Who Malach HaMavis? So what do we look at as being so strange? He's shushbine with the Malach HaMavis. We're all shushbine with the Malach HaMavis. That's the problem. Okay. So there, that's Reya. It says, Yetzer Leva Adam, Ra min Urav. So that's that Reya. Now who's the Aluf? The big general. The general is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we call the Lashon in Yirmiyo is Aluf Nurayata, which everybody knows from the Haftorah. You are the Aluf, the master, the leading figure from my earliest life. So if a person will ask, we had all of this before, Shema Tomar Mi Me'id Bi, well, who's going to squeal on me? Who's going to squeal? Avnei Beito V'Karot Beito Shel Adam. The roof beams, carpenter, are going to be telling everything about you. And the bricks along this, the walls of your home, Hem Me'idim Bo, Shenemar Ki Even Mikir Tizak, the stones will be crying out, proclaiming from the walls, V'Kafis Me'etz Ya'anena, everybody's going to be testifying. V'Chachom Himomrim, what do you need that? You got your own neshama is going to be made. Nishmato shel adam meidabo shenemar mishochevet chaykecha shmor pitchei picha. What is the shochevet chaykecha? The different shochevet chaykecha. What lives deep inside of your own neshama? Aveyomer zu neshama. Rabbi Zreika amar, the two malachi asharis that always go with you everywhere, they're going to be made you. Shenemar ki malachav yitzavelach lishmorcha b'chol drachecha. And obviously, shmira has a double meaning. They could be shomer you to save you, but they're also shomrim to report, right? So they are shmira, and they will be made. And the chagye shomrim, evarav shel adam me'idim bo. Shenemar v'atem edainu umashem v'ani el. So that means that you, all your people, all your parts, everything that you have, Atem speaking to the world, you are all going to be made on your own. Okay, we're ready for Sir Richard. Now, we talked about the nature of Torah, its relationship, and the way in which it continues to evolve and to involve our minds. Now we get to the most fascinating question. That is the issues of Chagiga, remarkably, parallel the development of the breakdown of the single, of the unity of Torah Shebaal Peh, into Machlokes, which becomes the Shivim Ponim LaTorah, which is directly Nogea, the Inyan of the Keshet that we just spoke about. And because of that, the Mishnah details the history of the first Machlokes in Klal Yisrael's entire development and how it became embedded in the very nature of the relationships of how we look at din and the nasi. We just mentioned the nasi, the difference between the nasi and the av bezdin, and the different ways of looking at the dinim of chagiga of all things. Well, of course, because that is the first obvious thing that we saw, and therefore it becomes the marker of this machlokas that we mentioned earlier. The difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel: do you do smicha on yantev or do you not? Okay, so now it turns out that this was a multi-generational issue. Yossi ben Yoezer Omer Shelo Lismoch. So the sheet of Yossi ben Yoezer was, do not press down on the head of your korban on Yontev. Why? Because it's an Isser Derabbanan to be Mishtamesh B'Tabal Chai. So don't do the smicha. Yosef ben Yochanan says, yes, do smicha. Now, the relationship between those two, as we're going to see, is one was the Nasi and one was the Av Bezdin. And the different visions of a Nasi and Av Bezdin are important to our whole sugya. Yoshua ben Prachya, Omar, lo lismoch. Nitai ha'arbeli, Omer, lismoch. Yehuda ben Tabai, Omer, shelo lismoch. Shimon ben Shetach Omer Lismoch. Shemaya Omer Lismoch. Avtalion Omer Shelo Lismoch. Hillel Umenachem didn't argue. And originally the Av Bezdin for Hillel was Menachem. They were the ones who didn't argue. But then Yotze Menachem. Menachem went out. Well, I was going to ask what went out to where. We are now in the period of what is known as the Zugot. These are the Zugot. And instead, Shammai came and took his place, and that became another machlokas, because Shammai Omer Shelo Lismoch, and Hillel Omer Lismoch. Now, even though Hillel was the Nasi, and Shammai was the Av Bezdin, as Tosis points out, in this particular location, since it was Yotze Menachem, Nichmas Shammai, everybody understands that Shammai took his place, as the Av Beis Din, and Menachem was the Av Beis Din to Hillel. Furthermore, it also keeps things parallel in the question of whether yesh lismoch or ein lismoch. So we put it in the same order, and here it's not a problem because it's clear that Hillel was the Nasi. Now, the amazing thing is over here is if you take a look at all of these zugas, unbelievably, not one of them has an appellation to his name. Isn't that weird? They are all first name relationships. It's unbelievable. And there's a pitgam, a wonderful pitgam by the Gaonim, that says, look, a Rav, that's pretty simple. Then you go from Rav to Rebbe. From Rebbe you go to Rabban. And from Rabban you go to just your name. And then the Mefarshim point out, did you ever hear Shmuel Hanavi being called Reb Shmuel? A Goyen Reb Shmuel? No. Was Yeshayo ever Rabban Yeshayo? No. Okay? So that's the question. You want to know what's Chashev? Once they add in a Rav Agon, then you know you're really in trouble. Might as well be dead. Okay. So here we have the Zugas. Not one of them is a rabbi.
Really, there's a, I believe they're based on the Tosefta Gideon, if I'm not mistaken. It's even earlier. The Gonim are based on something earlier. I'll find it for it.
Okay, thank you. Arishonim ayun nesiim. So the first of each of these Zugais that we listed over here was the Nasi. And the second was the Av Beis Din. So the second, when the list is all Avot Beis Din, we pointed out Tosfos's insight into the relationship of Dafka to Shammai and Hillel. You know, which some, you know, point out that since Hillel was such an unav, so like, okay, they put him, because he would always say Shammai's words first. That was one of the reasons we passed like him, so he ended up being mentioned, which is very cute. Tana Rabbana. Shlosham, if you take a look at the way, what we just said, what we're saying is that Yehuda ben Taboy, sorry, was the Nasi, and Shimon ben Shetach was the Av Beis Din. Now, that's not so posh, because Tana Rabbana. Shlosham izugot harishonim shamru shelo lismoch. So, three of these first of these Zugais said not to do smichas. So we had Yosef ben Yoezer, Yoshua ben Prachya, and Yehuda ben Taboy, plus two of the Zugot Achronim who said you should do smicha, and that was referring to Shemaya and Hillel. Those, the first ones over here, they were the Nisi'im, and the second of those, of each of that group, were the Avot Beit Din. So it means that the Shitot were not always the same among the Nesi'im and the Avot Beit Din. So the second one, which is Yosef and Yochanan, Nitai Arabeli, Shimon and Shetach, Avtalion and Shammai. So they were all Av Beis Din, according to Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, actually Yehuda ben Taboy was the Av Beis Din, and Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. So that means that in our Mishnah, because the Mishnah claims that Yehuda ben Taboy is a Nasi, because it says the Rishon was a Nasi, is not going according to Chachomim, it's going according to Rabbi Meir. Man tana loha de tana rabbanan. So what would be the marker of this? Omer Yehuda ben Taboy, er b'nechama im lo arakti eid zomim lo tzimi liban shel tzedukim, shehoyu omrim ein eidim zomim im neharogin ad sheyarega nidon. So I held that that's not what the pasuk is coming to tell me. Remember that the way that lahalacha we read the pasuk, that since it says in the pasuk, "Ashkasher zamam laasot laachiv," it's obvious that the achiv is still around. The way that he planned to do to his brother. What do you mean planned to do to his brother? You mean the way that he killed his brother? No, he wanted to, but we saved him. So on the contrary, once you've already killed the Nidon, so then there is no din of Edim Zomamim, right? But there's another problem. And the other problem is there is no din of killing on the basis of Edim Zomamim unless they're Edim Zomamim. Because the Lashon of Eid is always two unless the Torah specifically says, I'll be Eid Echad. So then that means that what it was, okay, Mela, he is arguing on the halacha about whether you need, that it should be that you carried out the din or you just pasuk in the din. Okay. But I wanted to make it clear that They said ein edim zomim in neharogin achi yareg. Those are the tzedukim. That's not how we understand the pasuk. I wanted to make that clear. That's all very nice. But Shimon ben Shetach says to him, yeah? Well, you could say, I swear, Erev Nechama, there's a beautiful machlokas over there. Tosis gives such a wonderful explanation of the idea of Erev Nechama. Remember, Rashi always learns Erev Nechama is the Erev Nechama, meaning Chas V'Chalila, he's cursing himself that his children should die and he should become an avil. Tosis says, Erev Nechama means the same thing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kevayachol, Ulam Chai Oni, and so on, that it means that the Shvua is always its opposite, right? So in other words, is it clear Chai Oni? It would be as if I'm not Chai Oni, if any of these idiots make it, except for Yoshua V'Kalev, right? So that's the same thing, that I should not be in a Chas V'Shalom if that would happen. But this is what the fact that I'm right protects me from a Yes Nechama. Tosfos understands the Nechama is the Nechama of Tzion. So it means I shouldn't be zocheh to see the Nechamat Zion if I'm wrong, but I'm right, so I will be zocheh to see the Nechamat Zion, so it's saying it in the positive way. Okay, anyway, but that's just the language over here. So Shimon ben Shetach says back to him, to Yehuda ben Tabai, well, I can tell you one thing, man. I should be Reya ben Nechama if you didn't kill somebody who was innocent. Sure, it's all very nice that you're right to be Motzi B'Limon Shal Tzedukim, but they both have to be zomimim. And you said eid zomim, you killed a single eid zomim. Anyone who kills a single eid zomim is shedding blood. Because they're not nerogin, they're not even lokin, unless both of them, they don't even pay. Miyad kibel of Yehuda ben Tabai said, oh my God, I will never be mora halacha again unless I'm getting the permission over here of Shimon ben Shetach, because that way he would help me, he would correct me. And koyom avshur Yehuda ben Tabai mishtateach kivro shel oto harug. His whole life, he would spend the rest of his days, he would go over to the graveyard and he was sitting and crying over the grave of that guy to ask forgiveness. Vayakol lo lishma, you could hear the sound of the voice from that. Everybody thought that the sound of the voice was the sound of the victim. To Kolo Shalarugu, who was tining against, how did you do such a thing to me? You know, good thank you. All these rabbis, they go killing innocent blood and so on. So everybody thought that that's what was happening over here. And he said to them, Yehuda ben Tabai said to them, why are you crazy, bunch of nutters? That's my voice you're hearing. I'll prove it to you. One of these days I'm going to die and you ain't going to hear any voices. Teidu shalamachar hum eit vein kolo nishma. So Rav Acha Breda Rava said to Rav Ashi, well, what does that prove? Maybe when he died, he went up there, you know, and they made up, you know, Dilma Pais Paisei. Or maybe this guy called him into the Besdin Shomala and they paskened who was right. But I mean, that was the end of the argument. We're not going to sit here arguing forever, right? Anyway, what bothers me is who of the Shitas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Chachamim, who said this Braita? Because it only works according to Rabbi Meir, I think. Because according to Rabbi Meir, it works out okay, because he said that Shimon ben Shetach was only the Av Bezdin, and that Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi. So then this whole thing makes sense. That explains why he says, I'm Mekabel on myself, never. What do you mean you're Mekabel on myself? If you were only the Av Bezdin, and he was the Nasi, forget about being Mekabel on yourself. That's the din. You can't paskin your goy chutzpah. You're going to paskin and ignore the presence of the nasi. So we see from here that up until that time he didn't care about whether he was in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach up until that time, and then because of the mistake he was. But if you're going to tell me, according to the Rabbana, they say that Yehuda ben Tabai was originally, he was only an Abbezin. Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. So how was he paskening in it without the Nasi? Av bedin bifnei Nasi mi ore halacha. He wouldn't have done that anyway. Says Igmar, not necessarily. It could work out that even before that Yehuda ben Tabai would never have paskin without Shimon ben Shetach, maybe Shimon ben Shetach was a Nasi. When it says he was Mekabel on himself, it says he was Mekabel on himself le'itztarufe. Dafilo itztarufe, nami lo mitztarfinan. So le'itztarufe, there's two very different approaches over here. Tosfos says le'itztarufe means to join a majority opinion against Shimon ben Shetach. I wouldn't do, because I don't trust myself. He pointed out to me how stupid I am, and I'm not going to argue on him. That's a very difficult shot to take, because you don't have a right to do that. What do you mean? You have to say what you hold the halacha to be, whether it agrees. That's the law down al riv. So the other approach is that even to be mitzdarif to a small bezdin to paskin, I wouldn't do that. Because I never believe anything that I say. See, well, if somebody wants to call me for a bezdin at any moment, it's for three people and so on. I wouldn't be mitzdarif to it. If I were not in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach, I don't trust myself. So then it says in the Mishnah, Yotze Menachem Unichna Shammai. What do you mean, Yotze? Where did he go to? Abaye says he was Yotze Latarbusra. Bad people, bad friends. He joined up. I mean, it sounds like he joined up with like a bunch of people who were in the bars, and he like the Avbezdin ends up, you know, he's gonna go out with a group of bad people. Rava Amayatzel Avodat HaMelech. The Pashtus says it's the same thing. Abaye held the Avodas HaMelech was basically joining up with bad people. Right, so the Tiferes Yisrael brings the whole pshat over here. Tiferes Yisrael says that there's a Kabbalah. That this Menachem, he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he met a little boy by the name of Hurdus. And he told Hurdus, one day you are going to be a king. And when Hurdus became king, he called upon Menachem to be the chief of his, you know, entire entourage, because he was obviously, he was somebody who was so appointed, so chashuv. So Menachem, so this story is actually, the rest of the story is in the Yerushalmi. This Menachem actually was that, and the reason that he was Yotze from the Bezdin is basically, it was based on Mordechai and Purim, because he held that there was so much that could be done from inside the palace to avert the Gezeris of the Romans if he had influence with Hurdus, that he wanted to be influential. And Abaye held, that's Tarbus Ra. Tarbus Ra. But that's the same thing that the Ratzui L'Rov Echav was Nogea Mordechai. He was Yotze Tarbus Ra. He joined up Moulin Rouge. What kind of business is that? Stay in the base of Medrash. Okay, so anyway, and that's why it says, Yatzu, that's the bright, Tanya Namayachi, Yatza Menachem La'Avodat HaMelech, and Yatsuimo Shmonim Zugot Amidim Levushin Sirikon. He had 80 chavrusas that left with him. Obviously, they were continuing to learn with him, but they are all dressed to kill, and they were wearing, you know, these were the men in black, and they all joined up with the super forces over there with Hurdas, and terrible. But okay.
Omer Reb Shammai Bar Kahana was elected to the Knesset. Reb Nachman told him, I'm not learning with you in the Knesset. Our chavrus is over. I'm not going there to learn with you.
Very good. Omer Reb Shammai Bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan. Lo'olam al teishvut kala be'inecha. What are you going to treat an Issur Rabbanan like it's not important, huh? Smicha. What's the problem of smicha? The Rabbanan where goes are not to use an animal. So if you're doing smicha, you're pressing down on the animal. So therefore, we're going to aser smicha on Yontev, and all of these deres of Av Bezdin, Nasi, all the machlokas was about this ridiculous issue. Who cares? So let the Rabbanan say, do it on Yontev. What's the big deal? So, you see, Shari smicha in Ela Mishum Shvus, and all the Gedele Ador for 5 deres were nechloko on this. And so, yeah. Great. I mean, so what's your chiddush? I understand. Pshita. Obviously, I know that it's only us Drabonin, and I know that, of course, it's not Kalbeinai. No, because over here it's a shvus that's being done for a mitzvah. Because the question is, would the Rabbanan, would some things be usher, even though what you're doing is a mitzvah? So that's what he's saying. It's only a shvus, and yet it's nogea, whether we're going to use it to do a mitzvah, bringing a chagiga, and afapikain. Even there, just so what's so bad? So you ended up doing the mitzvah, so it'll be esedo holosa. I don't know. I mean, like, it's really important. It's only, that's why he's saying that shvus mitzvah strichalei. But that's also obvious. Of course, it's a mitzvah. No, because he wanted you to understand that the machlokas lafuki miman diomra besmicha gufa plige. There are those who learn that. Remember, we had back in Beitza. That the question is there a mitzvah on smicha, on a chagiga at all? Or on a carbon yachid, is the din of smicha only set on a chovah, That's what he wants to say. No, 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 no. It's not about that. It's about the relationship to the Shvus. Kamashvam Shvus, who the Kamiflage. Omar Rami Bar Choma, look, this whole discussion proves very clearly that when you do smicha, you've got to be pressing down with your entire body. Why? Because otherwise it wasn't usher, because being mishtamish with an animal is only where you're leaning on the animal. You're putting your hands on the animal and doing smicha. There's no isser in doing that. You can put your hands on an animal, but you can't support yourself. So it must be that smicha means you need to support yourself. So you're pressing down b'kol kocho, because isak atach lo b'ina b'kol kocho. You're not even being over in the rabbanu being mishtamish with the bal chai. Lismoch, go right ahead and do it. Really? So then how do you explain the fact? It says in the Braita, Daber al b'nei Yisrael. The whole parsha is introduced with b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'not Yisrael. And it says over there, v'samach yado, which from which we learn, only b'nei Yisrael do smicha and not the girls. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon say, well, if the girls want to, they could. Remember the whole story about the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah and all the girls want to be dancing around with the Simchas Torah and the, I mean, are they really mechuyev in all of these mitzvahs and so on? Can you let the Sefer Torah be given to them and they should, well, you're going to walk into the Ezra Snashim with the Sefer Torah? What, are you crazy? Says Abba Elazar, I can tell you that we once had an egel for this Shlomim, and my dad brought it into the Ezra Snashim, and all of the women were going around and they were doing smicha, and they, you know, oh, great, you know, and then we say, okay, make them happy. Lo mipnei smicha benashim. Of course they don't need to do smicha, but it made them happy. Try to keep the girls satisfied. So they say, what are you treating us like? We don't have mitzvah. No, chas v'shalom, go into the Ezra Snashim, bring them the tzir. This is actually what is brought by the Shevet Levi in terms of deciding whether that's appropriate or not. But this is not so pashut, because as he himself brings, that over here Tosfos learns that this carbon belonged to them. So at least they had some reason. They have a, okay, but I don't know, think that's really different. Anyway, I'm just bringing it up because it's so much fun. And if you're going to tell me it's not smicha unless you lean on it, so then how could we allow them to lean on it if they're using kachim? You're not allowed to be samech on kachim unless it's a mitzvah. Otherwise, you're going to be mayel. You're going to do that. So you telling me mishum nachas ruach l'nashim, want to keep the women happy? Let them do an issur d'oraisa of dinan avoda b'kachim? Obviously not. So elolav shmarmin alo b'inan kol kocho. So then you're wrong. It must be you don't need b'kol kocho. Truth is le'olam emlecha, you do need. But when we brought it to the women, we didn't tell them that. We brought it to the women. We said, you're only supposed to put your hands on it. Don't push on it. Don't push on it. That's not the right way. So we hope that they won't find out that we're only doing nachas ruach l'nashim. So then why did you say that lo mipnei shesmicha b'nashim? You should have said, we're not really doing smicha, by the way. We told them akvu yadaychu, huh? Why don't we tell them that? Rashi, by the way, like he does in 15 other places in Shas, he loves the pasuk. I love it. It gives me such joy to see every time the Gemara brings up the word akifu, he brings the pasuk vayotzav barzel mitargaminan v'kofa barzel. It's just like you see that people have certain things that just give them joy. Rashi loves that targum. Every time it's brought up, he brings it. Not only in Shas, it's in Shas, it's 15 times. He brings it all over in the Chumash too. Anyway, so then why are you telling me that it's because of smicha benashim? That's not the issue. There wasn't any smicha all over here. Well, you should have said it. Not because we're really doing smicha, but we're making the women happy, no? No, yes. Amrabami Chodava Odkam. He's saying two different things. First of all, there wasn't really any smicha there at all. So don't think that we were doing smicha in that way. But if whatever we did do was only there, not that it was a chi of bichlal. And another thing is clear. I just want to get up to, if it's okay with you, I'll just take another second. And that is, from here you see, that it is usser to utilize on Shabbos even the sides of the animal. Now, this is a big problem for Richie, because the question, come on back there, Richard. So because the question that we had at Richie's was the hammock on the island. Is it mutter to use studim? So can you hang the hammock on the side of the tree? So this was okay. Studim or tzidet studim. And actually, Paschal, that it's mutter, and that's not called mishtamish be'ilan. So now we have that. It's the same gezera, mishtamish be'bal chai, mishtamish be'ilan. And it seems to me, says the Rapapa, you see from here, you cannot use the side. Why? Because if you're doing smicha, you're doing it on the head of the animal. But that is not where animals support weight. They support weight on their back. So if you would use the side of the animal to lean on, is that us or mutter? That's a machlokas. But that should be the same thing if you use the head of the animal. And it says over here that it's us. Because Isaac, that can study mutarim. What do we care? Do a full smicha on the head. Because it's only on the study. Must be, therefore, that studim are asurim, and that's why we have the somach lokas about smicha on yontiv. Rav Ashi says, not necessarily. Now, it happens to be, as Tosafot points out, Rav Ashi himself holds that studim are asurim. It's just that Rav Ashi is pointing out over here, you can't bring a raya. So Rav Ashi, I'm a filotem et studim mutarim, called ba'ade gaba ki gaba dami. So anything which is along the same line as the back, they made that one thing, you know, the top of the animal, basically, back, the head, the same thing, even though technically speaking, the head should not be included.